If I had to classify the texts for today, I would call them imperfect disciples of faith. Just last week in the gospel reading, we heard from Peter as Jesus asks him, "Who do people say that I am?" And then again, "Who do you say that I am?" And then with kind of a clear tone of a ringing bell, Peter says, "You are the Son of God." The very words spoken from the cloud. "Well done," Peter says. Or Jesus says to Peter, "Well done. You are the rock." Kind of the Aramaic version of, "You're awesome, Peter." A few verses later in our gospel lesson for today, Jesus says to that selfsame Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." It all turns around so quickly. Peter goes from hero to failure in about 12 verses. So what happened? Just after Peter confesses who Jesus is, "You are the Son of God," the Messiah, Jesus explains what that means. It says in our text that from that time on, from that moment after Peter confesses Jesus' true identity, he begins to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Peter is having none of it. "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But of course, for Jesus, it must happen. It's all part of what it means to be Messiah for Jesus. That he will go to Jerusalem, that he will suffer, that he will die, that he will be raised in a most unmessianic way. Outside of everyone's expectations, certainly outside of Peter's expectations. "God forbid it." And Jesus says this harsh word, "Get behind me, deceiver, stumbling block, stone, Peter. You are not setting your mind on the right things." These are hard words for Peter and for all of his disciples to hear. They're just kind of getting going. They're just sort of beginning to understand their role as God's servants in the world, as healers, proclaimers, community, family. And now that very family is going to be torn apart. And it's hard for them to hear. So Jesus recasts what it means to be a disciple for them and for us. It turns out, much to the surprise of many of us, that being a disciple, a follower, a teacher, a proclaimer of Jesus has almost nothing to do with success or huge churches or giant followings or lots of Facebook count and views on your video. It has nothing to do with any of that. Jesus says, "If anyone wants to follow me, let them deny themselves, put themselves aside, and take up their cross and follow me." Somehow discipleship, it turns out, is not so wrapped up in being a winner or being successful or counting how many people are in the pew or not in the pew. It turns out the discipleship has something to do with losing our lives. And that in losing our lives, we find true life. Now you notice that Jesus doesn't say to Peter, look, here are the 9 things that I want you to do so that you can be a worthy disciple. The same Peter who confessed Jesus, who saw Jesus for who he is, it's the same Peter who, when he went to go out and walk on water, sank like his namesake, like a stone. This is the same Peter who will later be in the courtyard after Jesus has been arrested and who will deny him before the cock crows. So discipleship doesn't seem to have anything to do with how good or how fit we are for the role to which we have been called. Jesus takes Peter just as he is and calls him friend and disciple and builds the whole church on that idea, the whole body of Christ. Now, for Lutherans, we should have a kinship with this, both theologically and in terms of our piety, that is undeniable. One of the catchphrases for you Latin lovers is simul justus et peccare. We are, Luther said, at the same time sinners and saints. Not that we're sometimes sinners and sometimes saints, and, you know, when we're at church on Sunday morning, we're kind of very saintly. But in the boardroom, we're not. Our understanding of who we are and how we're made is that we are at the very same moment, in every same very moment, we are both sinner and saint. Just like Peter. We both walk on water and sink like a stone. We confess God for who God is and at the same time deny God in almost the same breath. And yet God keeps calling us back. And Peter's in good company. You read in the first lesson about our brother Moses, this is one of my favorite stories. Moses, who is often portrayed as this incredible, holy guy, before he goes up and he's keeping the flock with his father-in-law Jethro, do you remember who Moses was? He was Pharaoh's adopted son. He was in charge of the Jewish slaves. He's a murderer. He kills a guard before he wanders out into the desert. He has good intention, poor execution. And yet he is the one who God calls in the burning bush. Moses, for all of his warts and all of his brokenness, for all of the things that are wrong in his life, for the ways in which he has behaved badly, even criminally, God chooses Moses to lead his people. Come no closer, he says, having called him. God says, come no closer, take off your sandals. You are on holy ground. You're not holy, Moses, but you are on holy ground. We are not holy, but we are on God's holy, holy ground. And God has chosen us as well to bring hope and comfort in the midst of all that is happening in our world. To be a part of the transformation. to put away racism and poverty and war and hopelessness. And we will be desperately imperfect at it. We will indeed at times take up our cross, whatever that means for you, but we will also lay it down. We will be afraid to pick it up. If we're going to come to terms, if we're going to truly be disciples of Christ, we will have to come to terms with the dark elements and hesitancy, our own brokenness, and realize that that does not prevent us from being loved by God or being sent as disciples. In fact, I think genuine love and genuine discipleship requires that we live out our brokenness into transformation to be true disciples. And that's what happens with Peter. From the courtyard where he denies Jesus, to when he goes back to the fishing boat, again, he will receive that call. He will live out his own doubt and hopelessness. And he will proclaim the truth of Christ crucified and raised. And now here we are, the body of Christ, imperfect, broken, not always exactly sure what we should be doing, sometimes floundering and failing, and yet God calls us again and again to take up our cross and follow. In all of our simul justus et peccare, in all of our at the same time sinner and saint, you and I are called to take up our cross. For the ministry to which we have been called and sustained is important for the true life of God's world. If any want to become my followers, Jesus says, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Maybe this morning that doesn't really sound like great news, happy news. But, oh Lord, have mercy, is it good news? For God is calling us, his broken vessel, her broken people, into a life that is true life in discipleship. Amen. Our worship continues with the hymn of the day. Take up your cross, the Savior said, ELW number 667. Please rise as you're able.